Archaeological artefacts are revealing more about the history of human connection to whales and dolphins in Aotearoa, New Zealand. Despite their presence in whakapapa and the puroko or oral traditions, very little is on record showing early Māori interactions with cetaceans. In a project backed by an $870,000 Marsden grant, researchers will harness science to retrace the intertwining path of whales and dolphins with our ancestors. Dr. Amber Aranui is curator of Mātauranga Māori at Te Papa, and Monica Tromp is manager of South Pacific Archaeological Researchers Laboratory at the University of Otago. Kia ora korua. Welcome, Amber. Welcome, Monica.
Kia ora. Nice to be here.
Wonderful to have you with us. Thank you. Look, let's begin perhaps, Monica. Could you tell us just a little bit more about your research discipline, please, in the first instance? Some 15 years studying Pacific archaeology now, yeah?
Yes, I am an archaeological scientist, so I use tools to try and help people find out about the past. I am not a field archaeologist, so I don't go out digging things, but rather look at mostly microscopic things that people bring back from the field.
So what will this research set out to discover, Monica?
We're interested in finding out which kinds of whales people interacted with in the past, because most archaeology, there is quite a lot of whale and or dolphin bone in archaeological sites, but people generally just say it's marine mammal or cetacean or pilot whale, because that's what most commonly strands today. And some preliminary studies we've done using ancient DNA have shown that there's actually quite a lot of different cetaceans that people have used in the past. So there was orca and dolphins and fin whales, and then even some baleen whales, such as the southern right whale, which was a bit unexpected because that became more prevalent during European whaling.
What can the technology reveal? Is it pretty sophisticated? And will these sometimes fragments, really, of cetacean bones be able to reveal a lot more detail?
Yes. So the technique that we're going to be primarily using is called ZOOMS, or zoo archaeology by mass spectrometry. And it's a form of collagen peptide mass fingerprinting. So it sounds very complicated, but it's actually quite simple and straightforward compared to ancient DNA, and it's also a lot cheaper. So we're hoping to be able to show how useful it can be. And also it allows us to be culturally guided to use appropriate sampling, because if there is cases where we can't completely destroy something, we can use minimally destructive methods where it's basically just polishing a tiny area of an object, and we can get enough collagen that way without causing any visual damage to it.
And will this be used to bring together the connection between the cetaceans, the whales in particular, and ancestors? Is there going to be evidence that shows a clear link that perhaps has not yet been explored?
That's what we're hoping. One of the major directions we want this project to take is foregrounding Mātauranga Māori so that it shines as a knowledge system of its own, but also to show that it can work with science. So we don't have that disconnect between the two things. They can work together. Different knowledge systems can work in harmony and not in opposition.
Dr. Aranui, Amber Aranui, kia ora, as we said, curator of Mātauranga Māori at Te Papa. Could we learn a little bit about your background, first of all? Before becoming a curator at Te Papa, you worked in repatriation. Could you just give us a little bit more of your history there, Amber?
Sure. Prior to coming to the museum, I was a field archaeologist, so I have a background in archaeology, but moved into the museum space about 2008 and worked as a provenance researcher for our repatriation program at Te Papa Kawanga Aotearoa. So we're responsible for finding our ancestors in overseas institutions and undertaking rigorous provenance research, or sort of in-depth research, to find out where these ancestors were from so that we're able to bring them home. So this has given me a really good grounding in the work that I'm doing now.
With this specific project, just to explain more about your role and I guess also the wider team's approach.
Yeah, well, I mean, for me, my interest in this project really is based around provenance research. So provenance research helps to uncover the story and the connections of taonga that we have within our collections. And for me, this is just one way that we can help uncover some of that hidden history that many of our taonga have. You know, we at Te Papa itself, we have a large amount of taonga that are unprovenance, so we don't know their history, we don't know their story, and we don't know who they connect to. So this type of research is really important in that, and that we're able to better understand maybe where these taonga were from, depending on the species of whale that we can that we identify.
What is known by various means, whether it's oral history or any other means, about the relationship between Māori and whales and dolphins? What is it that you're looking to learn more about?
Yeah. So we know that, you know, in our past, that whales were seen as guardians, they were seen as ancestors, but they were also seen as a resource. We know we used whalebone for fishing, for fighting, for sewing clothes, as adornments, even in music, and also in some cases as a sign of status. But I think what we want to find out is, what types of whales were used? Were we, in a way, opportunistic in using them as a resource? So if a whale stranded, that's what we use. Or were there specific whales that we used to create specific taonga? One of the questions that I have is, we have a taonga in our collection, and it's called a patu prawa, so a patu that's made from sperm whale. And one of the questions I'd like to ask is, are all these patu prawa actually made from sperm whale bone, or have other species been used?
What is the involvement with iwi, please? And if you could perhaps elaborate a little bit more, are we talking about various sites around the country?
So with iwi being part of this project, we're having a look at what we have in our collection. Monica can talk to some of the relationships that we have already established, but what we'd like to look for is whether or not iwi see a benefit in this research. I have a background in research, particularly around ancestral remains, so I know that this can be quite a delicate conversation around testing taonga or testing ancestors. So, you know, we know that this is not for everybody, and that, you know, this is a project where we want iwi to come and be part of this and actually see a benefit in that, in it for them, and not just for us at the museum or for the university.
Monica, do you want to speak to that as well? How are these conversations, how is this kōrero happening?
Some of the iwi that we're working with, we have been working with for years at Otago, and so those relationships are already established. But as Amber was saying, a really important part of this project is helping people find out what they want to find out, not necessarily what's important to us, because this is their taonga, this is their history, and we want to help them uncover things that they'd like to know as well. So we've also been approaching small community museums to see if we can work with them, because they don't have a lot of funding. So we're trying to get as many people who are interested involved, and hopefully show how this can benefit many communities in the future.
Could you tell us a little more about the technology itself that will reveal much more detail, Monica?
That's the Zooms, the mass spectrometry. Mm-hmm. So you basically just need a tiny little piece of sample. You can either use a tiny, like, 1 by 1 millimeter piece of bone, or you can use a bit of polishing film to collect some collagen that way. And then you are just looking at a spectrum, basically, and comparing it to other reference spectra to see which species it might be.
Back to Dr. Amber Aranui, I understand that you and Dr. Monica Tromp, our other guest, also received $1 million grant, I think, from MBIE, the Ministry of Business, Innovation and Employment. Now, this was for an unrelated, but I think a similar project. Could you speak to that one, Amber?
Sure. This project looks mainly at unprovenance taonga, so taonga where we're not sure about the history. And what we're really wanting to do is explore this technique and look at the positives of this technique and actually decide whether we want to bring this technique here to Aotearoa.
And could you elaborate a little bit more about what the technique is?
So as Monica said, it's just using that Zooms technology, being able to get a small sample and then take it. Well, at the moment, we're going to have to take it offshore to get these samples analysed. But what we'd really like to do, you know, given the importance of taonga for iwi Māori, is actually not have to take samples like this offshore, but actually be able to do that analysis and research here.
In Aotearoa, indeed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm.
What were some of the repatriation projects you could speak to, Amber, before your latest role?
Well, as I noted, I was involved in the return of ancestral remains, so I've done a lot of research into enabling them to come home. And actually right now I'm also working within Te Papa and working to repatriate taonga, actually, within our collection back to iwi. I'm also working with my own iwi of Ngāti Kananu to find pieces of a carved house. It currently is spread all around the world. Mm. And we're just looking to identify those pieces and hopefully bringing them home as well. So repatriation is quite far and wide, and it doesn't just include physical objects or ancestors, but actually also knowledge and information, which I guess also ties into this project that we're doing together.
It must have very emotional moments, a lot of hard work, I imagine, lot of kōrero, but there must be times of very, very powerful emotional moments, Amber.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I couldn't tell you how many times I've cried in this work, but I think for me the most important thing is actually seeing ancestors and taonga actually home with their people. You know, that's the most important part of this job. You know, it's only one step to bring them back from overseas, but, you know, the ultimate goal is that they go home and not just sit within another museum for however many more hundred years.
May I ask a little more of each of you about your career journeys, if you like, and the qualifications you've obtained in order to do this mahi? Amber, do you want to go first?
Okay, so I have a PhD in Māori Studies, and it was focused on the importance of repatriation and I guess scientific research on ancestral remains. And as I noted, I have a background, a master's in archaeology, and I worked in that field for a number of years before coming into the museum sector. But I have been working with Victoria University on projects which focus a lot on that space where mātauranga Māori and Western science come together. And that's something I'm really interested in. The project that I'm just finishing was based on groundwater in the Hawke's Bay. And though this is quite different, actually it's that interface between the two disciplines that really, really interests me, and where I see there's a lot of scope for development and a better understanding.
Ngā mihi nui. And Monica? Mm.
I actually started out as a recording engineer and got into archaeology by chance. I wasn't always going to be an archaeologist, but I did do both my bachelor and master's degrees in the U.S. at Idaho State University, focusing on archaeological science and looking primarily at dental calculus, so the stuff that the dentist scrapes off your teeth, and looking at what was inside of that. And I also did my PhD looking at dental calculus, but I did that here at Otago. And I also worked on some other dental calculus projects looking at European people for a postdoc in Germany before coming back here to start up this work.
Thank you both very much. Dr. Monica Trump speaking there, and Dr. Amber Aranui also.